This is KI4DTY Mobile.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Patrick, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Well, it could be better. I wanted a hamburger, but I can't seem to find any place that's open, so I just gave up. Now I'm trying to head home.
You're on EchoLink.
Yeah, I couldn't, my radio wouldn't reach. I'm right inside a kind of downtown area of Charlotte, and I don't think I really have signal on my radio until about exit 8. And I'm losing like the first part of your transmission each time.
Okay, I'll slow down a little bit.
What you up to today or tonight?
Right now, I was just sitting here playing around on the computer, waiting for you to make your trip home.
Thank you. I enjoy having some company as I'm driving. I have a question for you. Did you get your general license yet?
No, I have not. I'm going to try again next month.
So I take it you did try and you did not pass. Do you know how much you missed and how did you study?
No, Daniel, I never got to go take it. The wife's car broke down that weekend and I didn't feel like I was ready anyway.
I'm trying to study for it because I kind of wanted to take it this year, but I wasn't sure what was the best way to study for it.
I have been using hamstudy.org, the app. You can buy the app. It's not expensive. And also W4EEY's YouTube videos.
I do have that app. I downloaded it when I was trying to study for the tech, which was nice. But I also read a book, too, and the book was actually really helpful. The guy told some stories and stuff, and it kind of helped you learn what he was talking about some and at least memorize it.
Yeah, I did the same thing with the tech, but right now I've just been using Gary's videos and hamstudy.org on my general.
So do you feel like you're ready to take the test? Like it's been good to learn it or what?
I think the learning's fine. I just haven't been able to devote all the time to it that I want to.
Yes, same problem for me. I've been wanting to dive into it a little deeper, but I mean, I think you're probably in the same boat, trying to run a business, keep up with family, and try to study for the test has been challenging.
Roger that. That's a big challenge for me.
So my blinker's acting up, and it's driving me stinking crazy. I am going down the highway, and I think people think I'm turning, and I'm not, and I have to turn on my left blinker, and then the left blinker starts to go off after a couple of seconds.
Yeah, you were telling me about that earlier today. They probably do think you're crazy, but they'll get over it.
I'm just used to using my blinker, which I guess is not a South Carolina thing to use a blinker so people know where you're going, but I tend to like to use it if at all possible. So, but I'm tempted to pull over and pull that fuse out.
Daniel, I'm with you there. I'd be tempted myself, but there's another station trying to come in, so I'm going to let him go ahead.
This is AC6IW Mobile. I was just curious how I was hitting the repeater. I'm on Highway 11, kind of like the Travel Express Dickens area. My name is Jeff, and I live in Greenville.
If you're coming in loud and clear, you're not too far from the repeater there.
Now, where are you two guys? I know I just heard the one guy was driving back from Charlotte.
He's been up that way doing photography for a wedding. He runs a photography business. and I am actually up in Penrose, North Carolina, on the other side of the state line.
That's cool. Well, I just came from a wedding. I play trumpet, and I was playing in downtown Asheville with a friend that has a band and a DJ business, so I was playing trumpet in the band, AC6IW.
Okay, well, I assume you're almost home then.
Well, I'm actually going to meet my girlfriend that's at someone's house. They're having a get-together, and I'm showing up very late, and they're going to spend the night. So they're somewhere out. I'm trying to find the place. It's somewhere out in Pickens. So I'm just using the GPS. I'm not exactly sure where I am.
Careful out there. Driving at night trying to find something you're not familiar with can be fun.
Turn this on just to kind of listen. So I'll go back to listening because I'm kind of going through some windier roads. But I was glad that the repeater works out here because in this area before, my cell phone didn't work. So I just recently got an external antenna for my car and bought an HT that I've been out of ham radio for like 15 years and just recently got back into it. So I'll talk to both of you guys soon, I'm sure. AC6IW.
Praise to you, and I'm on here pretty much every day through the week and on the weekends just sporadically. I drive a tool truck around Greenville, and Daniel, he does his photography business, so he's in and out all the time too. But you be careful out there, and nice to meet you, KO4HKX, and 73s to you. And Daniel, I'll be around for a while.
Yeah, I'm just driving. Hey, quick question. So how do you know that I was on EchoLink?
There's a little beep at the end of your transmissions.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I didn't know if maybe it told you on your receiver or what. So, but cool, thanks. And this is KI4DTY.
Sound just a little bit different on EchoLink, and then the delay in transmission is always a giveaway for it.
So how's your business been doing, Patrick? Has it been doing pretty well, or what? I don't know how it works towards the end of the year, if it starts to slow down for you, or if it pretty much just you always stay busy. How's that work?
Normally we slow down toward the end of the year, but right around Christmas time we'll pick back up for just a little bit, and then it'll die down until mid-February, 1st of March, when taxes start coming back. But this year there's no telling what's going to happen with everything going on. So I'm just along for the ride right now, and business has been slow already, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I know you told me how long you've been doing this, but I don't remember right this second. Does this kind of feel like normal, or just because you can't get stuff? Why do you think that is?
For me, I feel like things are a little slower than they normally are. But it could be because of not having a truck for so long. It takes a while to get your accounts receivable built back up on the street, and when you can't get product, it makes it that much harder to do. So I've been really struggling with that side of the business for the last few months anyway.
So struggling how? Struggling just to get stuff or to build the accounts? I'm assuming that's what you mean, build the accounts, but what do you mean?
But in turn, that keeps me from being able to build my accounts because people are waiting on stuff. They get tired of waiting, can't get it for months at a time. It's been a mess.
So, yeah, so the camera that I broke, I told you that I'm they basically have this preferred member program as part of the manufacturer. Since I have X amount of dollars in equipment through Canon, they allow, and then once you reach a certain amount of points, so once you've spent a lot of money with them, they give you the ability to then pay to become basically a preferred member, which kind of puts you at the top of the list, you know, for things being fixed or even if you want equipment. But I set that camera off, and there's a, it's a normally, I get it back in, you know, two to three days, depending on what all I sent, but it took about 2.5 weeks, I think, 3 weeks, and they just could not get the parts to fix it at all.
Yeah, I'm running into some of the same issues. I send tools in to have them repaired under the warranty stuff, and it's taken weeks, sometimes months, to get the stuff repaired because they can't get parts. And you can imagine how happy the customers are about that.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm sure they're not very patient, I guess, especially when it comes to cars. I mean, with my camera gear, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's my livelihood, so if it's out, I'm kind of down. But I try to keep at least a couple cameras for backups in those cases anyways. But I still was trying to be understanding because obviously I know that it's hard to get parts. So I can only imagine how much worse it probably is for you if it takes weeks, if not months, to get something back.
You would think the customers understand it, dealing with the same issue themselves. They can't get parts to repair cars. Either they're having to wait weeks, sometimes months on them. And they're running out of oil and filters now and brake rotors. I mean, it's just crazy everywhere about what's on back order and the lack of patience dealing with it that people have.
I get that. I didn't realize, so is it, so the oil and filters and just basic parts is also kind of back-ordered as well?
After that, there's guys out there waiting week, 2 weeks on brake rotors. It's getting hard to get oil now. Prices of oil is going up. The wife went to pick up an oil change for her Escape today, and they had one quart instead of the six that it takes.
Yeah, I did not realize that. My driving has been way down because my jobs have been way down, so I just haven't driven as much. Now, obviously, the past, you know, month I have. I think I've put almost 3,000 on my truck in the past 3 weeks now, maybe a little bit more than that. So I haven't gone for an oil change yet, but no, didn't really realize that was a thing right now.
It's not everywhere, but a lot of places are starting to feel it, so I imagine it's just a matter of time before it gets worse.
I'm sure you put some mileage on. How many miles do you go a week?
Between the excursion and the tool truck, I'll do anywhere from 600 to 1,000 miles a week. Maybe working that. I'm not sure. Can you hear me? I can hear you fine. How many miles was that again? The excursion and the tool truck, I'll put anywhere from 600 to 1,000 miles a week on them.
That's crazy. So my brother recently, I think I told you this, started his own trucking company. So he's been going all over the place. But he had put in an order for a truck because he just wanted to upgrade, and it's been months, and he's talking about just canceling the order altogether because he's just, at this point, kind of tired of waiting and doesn't know what's going to really happen.
One of our distributors here in Greenville, he ordered a truck at the same time when mine got totaled, and he got word last week that it would be end of January, possibly February, before he could even remotely consider getting it.
Put his order in, I think it was back in June, maybe. And so he had followed up with them last week, and they said, yeah, we have no clue. We don't know what to tell you right now. And he put a deposit down, and so he's thinking about just kind of canceling it just because waiting for the unknown, especially on a truck that's going to cost $100,000, it's just hard to wait like that.
And then when it does get here, who knows what the economy is going to hold, if you can even afford it still.
Like he was saying, that, you know, at least he knows, he doesn't know anything, or he knows very little on the truck he has now, so he's like, I may just stick with it and just see what happens and, you know, come January, February.
HKX. Yeah, to be honest with you, I was kind of nervous about getting mine just because I didn't know where things were going and the uncertainty of everything out there. But I couldn't keep going the way I was, so I had to do something.
Not happy with your choice?
I'm settling with my choice, let's put it that way.
I think I like your answer. Well, what was the, I don't want to get into your personal business, but what was kind of the final blow of why you wanted to go just work for yourself like this?
Like I said, I've been working in a dealership for on and off for almost 20 years, and the stress level was just astronomical of trying to make everybody happy and earn a paycheck at the same time. I was just done. I was burnt out on it. And the lack of appreciation that I felt like working for the dealership, you were just a number to them. And a lot of them are seeing now that that was not the case. I've had one dealer tell us that he could replace anybody in the dealership on Craigslist. Just the arrogance of them. And so I was just done with it. And I have less stress now working for myself, even with everything going on, than I did when I was working at a dealer working for somebody else.
Volume. Yeah, I mean, when I started in 2008, was when the economy was crashing at the time. My boss at the time basically was like, I had made him a lot of money and also made him very, very efficient. And he brought me into his office on my birthday and told me he was laying me off, that he could now, basically made him so efficient and did all the hard work that he could now bring in somebody and pay them half of what he basically was paying me and still make a living.
I bet all those owners are eating that now. A lot of the shops are, like I'm saying, are they can't find help, and they're having a hard time retaining quality help because of those attitudes. So it's biting them in the butt now.
He had a store, or not a store, I don't know what you call it, like a warehouse. He ended up closing it all down about maybe a year after I left. So, I mean, I wasn't like, you know, you couldn't live without me. You know, I felt bad for him, you know, but at the same time, I was like, I worked my butt off for him, and it just felt like he wasn't, like what you're saying, very appreciative at all. I wasn't looking for anything from him other than, hey, good job.
Well, for me, it got to the point where I dreaded going into work, and it was just, you owe me a paycheck at the end of the week, and I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to see you. I don't want nothing to do with you. And I didn't want to live that way.
And at least with, I know there's a different type of stress owning your own business. Obviously, I'm doing the same thing, but I'm sure just being able to have quality time, at least with your family stuff, is probably nice.
Yes, it is. In the summertime or when my wife's not working, she rides with me. When my son still lived here, he was out of school, he rode with me. I really enjoyed those times. You know, we might have still been working, but, you know, we were having fun. We'd stop, meet lunch, or, you know, poke fun at each other going down the road, you know, just having a good time, even though we were still working, doing a job.
You can still hear me or not, so let me...
Daniel, you're cutting in and out again, so we'll give it a few minutes and we'll try again. KO4 HKX and KO4 DTY. I'll be on the side for a little while.
DTY Mobile.
4 HKX. Daniel, give me just a minute and I'll be right back to you, okay? KO4 HKX on the side. 4 HKX.
KX. KI4 DTY.
So where are you at now?
Seconds ago, I just passed the Big Peach.
And down 85 in the Gaffney?
Yeah, I did. But it's weird. You know how it used to be two lanes split? And now they have just one lane.
Aren't they working on that right through there?
Not right this second. Yeah, I guess they are. But usually they have the two lanes, so they'll have the concrete barricade splitting it. And usually with both lanes going, it's not too bad. So they keep the tractor trailers have been staying in the right lane while all the other cars go in the left lane, which has been kind of nice.
Haven't been up that way in probably 2 years, so I don't know how bad it is up through there lately.
No, I try not to be judgmental here. It just seems like at some point it's like I don't get why it's taking this long, and I don't know why they... I get, you know, you have to do your long stretches and stuff, but I don't get why, you know, they do so much at once. Why not, like, complete it in sections?
Four.
I've been pleasant. So right now I'm doing 30 miles an hour behind the long line of tractor trailers. Well, my blinkers are going crazy.
Maybe you can get you the parts to get that fixed this week.
So I'm glad you told me what you did, because I was just going to order the part, brand new part, and replace it. But I think now, after talking to you, I'm just going to take it apart and see if maybe it's just a bad connector, and see if I can just fix that part first, because it may be, like you said, it may be just the actual connection.
Yeah, it's not hard to tell either. I mean, you just got to take the steering wheel trim off, which you have to do anyway. And then you can just look at it and give them a little tug on the wires and make sure everything's seated like it's supposed to. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah, well, I think maybe Monday morning or sometime. I may work half a day on Monday and try to take it apart just to see if I can get it fixed. So no, thanks for your help on that. That is definitely something I'm going to try to do, because if that saves me, you know, I like usually trying to buy OEM parts if I can, but the OEM was going to be like $300. So I was looking at the knockoff for a $150, $180.
Some of those multifunction switches can be kind of pricey.
High beams and the windshield wipers.
They call it the multifunction switch. You got four ways, blinkers, high beams, low beams run through there too. It's just got a whole bunch of stuff running through there.
It's 12 o'clock. If you're staying up for me, just go ahead. I'm good, but I enjoy talking with you, but I don't want you to stay up for me.
I'm good. I was just sitting here anyway. I worked yesterday in the shop and was was feeling it today and ended up taking me a little nap, so I'm good.
You told me you were bending over and everything, so did you end up getting bruises like Chad?
Bruises this time, but normally when I'm working on trucks and I'm laying across the radiator support, my rib cage kills me the next couple of days. But this time it was my back that from bending over working on a car and just tugging on everything. So nothing unusual when you haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, about a month and a half ago, I had to replace the radiator on my truck, Expedition, and of course, it takes a special tool to get the stinking fan off, so I had to go buy that, or, you know, the auto parts does that rental where you buy it and you can return it. So I did that, and I had worked on it for you. You know what, I felt stupid, because something that should have taken me, like, maybe 3-4 hours to do ended up taking me 2 days to do, and I felt like an idiot. But I tell you what, my rib cage from leaning over the front end of the truck was absolutely killing me.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And when you're working on, I haven't been this yesterday, but I was when I work on diesel trucks. Man, you're stretched out and you're pulling on stuff, picking up heavy stuff. It just, I'm not built up the tolerance that I once had. Let's put it that way.
I definitely hear you there. Yeah, because once you kind of get out of it, it's just like, we used to work on houses and build roofs and stuff. Oh, they're putting a new bridge up. That's why they got all the traffic detoured and everything. We're getting off the road, but... Yeah, so my brother was like, hey, I need you to come help me over here on the roof. And I was like, okay. So I go up there during the summer, and we're up there on his roof trying to replace, you know, half of his roof. And I tell you what, my back, my knees, I felt like I was 97 years old the next day or the week after.
Yeah, it's usually about 2 or 3 days afterwards it really starts to hit you.
I am not ashamed to say I went and I bought $90 knee pads to try to help save my knees, because I was dying. And I looked at my brother and I said, I will literally pay anything right now not to help you with this roof. So... but I was bound and determined that we were going to finish it, so we did. But I tell you what, about 3 days after we were done, I was sore as sore could be. And I literally felt like 1,000 years old. This is KI4DTY.
Yep, I wish I would have worn knee pads years ago. It would have helped my knees sitting on those radiator supports and... crawling around on concrete floor, setting the lifts and picking stuff up and underneath these vehicles would have helped my knees some, considering now they want to replace my right knee and I'm only 46 years old.
Really? Is it like all the cartilage is gone or what?
That's it. It's pretty much bone on bone, so every step I take, it's just cringing.
That is definitely a nightmare. Yeah, I hear you. You're only 46 and already be going through that. That's tough, but I tell you what, you're young and now's almost the time to just go ahead and do it.
Got it. But they say the replacement knee is only good for so long, so to put it off as long as you can, but I don't know which way is better or which way is worse. And I don't know if you could get it done right now anyway.
Yeah, probably not. My dad, they're supposed to operate on his back again. It'll be like the 12th surgery right now or something like that. But they're saying it's not of utmost importance, so it's not life-threatening. So they're delaying him on that pretty bad right now, but I think you're right. I'm not even sure if you could get it done if you wanted it.
I don't know. If they keep firing everybody, you ain't going to get nothing done. So I don't know what they're going to do over this mandate stuff, people walking off the jobs.
I don't know what to say, because I'm obviously, mandate is as good as papers written on. It's not good for anything other than wiping stuff, so whatever. But I tell you what, did you see half a GE walked out the other day?
Did, and that wasn't just in Greenville. That was in several GE plants nationwide.
I'm proud that people were willing to finally stand up and say no.
With you, whether you're for the vaccine or not, that's taking away our freedoms, and I'm not for that.
You know, if you want to take it, take it. If you don't, don't. If you want to wear a mask, wear it. If you don't, don't. But you can't make it law. You can't make it where if you don't wear it, or if you don't take it, you can't work. I don't think that's right either.
But at the same time, those businesses have established their business, and the government has no right to tell them which way they're going to go either. Whether they have to require a mask or shots, and vice versa. I think it's up to the individual.
I mean, you got to make the best decision for you and your life and your family, and that's what I said. If you want to take it and that's what you feel that you should do, then do it. But, yeah, the government needs to stay out of it altogether.
I wish they would, and then if people would just turn the TV off, and leave it off.
And leave it off. But that ain't gonna happen. A friend of mine, she was, a friend of my wife's, she got tired of her parents telling her everything that was being said on CNN, and, you know, that this was bad, and this was bad, and all this other stuff. So, you know, this lady is, you know, in her 30s, late 30s, early 40s. She went over there and put parental control on her parents' TV and blocked CNN and MSNBC and all these other stations. It was hilarious. And so her dad called her, and he goes, "We can't get any of the news stations."
That's funny right there. More people need to do that.
They called her and they're like, "Yeah, our TV, it says we need a password. We need a password so that we can watch the news." And the lady goes, "Well, why don't y'all go to the park or something?" It was hilarious. She was here, a grown woman is trying to get her grown parents to go to the park and turn the TV off. She's like, "Y'all don't need to be watching that mess anyways." It was hilarious.
Have any of it in my house. All I've got is Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. I don't watch any of the local channels at all.
We have Netflix and we have Amazon Prime as well. And then we have Hulu just because it came free with our cell phone service as Sprint, and it came with that, so we have it. But I tell you what, I'm about ready to take it off the TV altogether with all the junk that's on Hulu. But usually if me and my wife sit down to watch something, which is kind of rare, but we're purposeful in what we watch, so I agree, don't waste your time with it. But I did turn on the news the other day for about 5 minutes, and then I realized and remembered why I don't watch it.
Surprised it took you that long, Daniel. And the wife and I will sit down and we'll try to watch, you know, a show a night or something like that. And but Hulu, yeah, it's gotten to where their commercials on there are just getting really bad also.
of course, we have a 10, 13, and 15-year-old, and we don't, I pretty much told them not even to turn Hulu on at all. There's like a Lego show on there that we'll watch with them, and I'm like, let me turn it on, and we'll get to it, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, it's been, their commercials have been really bad. We don't watch horror movies or anything like that, so it's pretty much, different beliefs, I guess, but we don't watch any of that junk, so we told them not to even turn on Hulu, so they have their own little Netflix channel, and they can go on there and watch that on Saturday mornings for, about an hour.
You can set parental controls on Hulu also, so... And you can, if you pay the upgrades, you can get it without commercials. But I just don't want to do that.
It's parental control on it, so I have to check that out. But, yeah, I don't want to pay extra. That's why I just was pretty much just told them, don't even turn Hulu on anymore. So they're like, okay. So I've been blessed with really amazing kids anyways. And so they love playing outdoors. And so they do that. And... they usually don't really watch that much TV anyway, so we pretty much limit it to about an hour and a half a week, but they're good at that. They have a show they'll watch, and the other ones will watch it with them. But yeah, me and my wife, we try to sit down, maybe twice a week, sometime at night, just to try to watch something and just spend some time together.
Yeah, it's just me and my wife here at the house anymore. We're empty nesters now. My son moved out back in March, so just the two of us.
That you're already empty nesters, so that's crazy. But hey, what do you do for fun? I know you work, but what's something that you like to do for fun normally?
I don't know. The ham radio thing is about as much as I do anymore. I don't go anywhere or do anything. I just don't want to deal with the people and the process of getting it done.
I hear you there. Yeah, ham for me, every now and then, I don't know, I don't mind trying to go shooting or something, but yeah, I hear you.
I like to go do that too, but ammo's gotten so hard to find and so expensive, I've just been holding off on that altogether also. But one of the things when I get my land and all done the way I want it to is I want to have a nice little shooting range, outdoor shooting range there.
That'd be cool. I hope you get that. That's been my goal, to have a piece of property where, me and my boys we can kind of camp on or something, and also go shooting, because I want to teach them how to, shoot and stuff too.
Anytime you're ready, y'all can come up here. It's 37 acres of raw land. Just come up and y'all can go camping there. Got a nice little creek right down the middle of it.
Yep. Well, I may take you up on it one day, but no, I didn't know what you did for fun or if you did anything. I know y'all are up there and outside of our Penrose, and wasn't sure what you did.
I want to do something around here, you can forget it. There isn't much of anything. It's a tourist trap. That's about it. That's all the town's got anymore, is the tourists. They're trying to draw that in, and I don't want nothing to do with it. It's ruining the small town feel, and you can't get around in it. I just bypass town altogether when I can.
Brevard or bypass Penrose?
Brevard. Penrose, you sneeze and you'll miss it.
And then kind of turn it more into a touristy area with what's that guy's name? Sanford or who's that famous person y'all had the house of?
Low which one you're talking about. There's several of them up here around here. I can't remember his name right now, but there's Steve Martin lives over here. I know he lives here in the county, and there's several others that live close by too.
Carl Sandberg, that's it.
In county.
Okay. I thought that was in Brevard or something.
It's not far from where I live. It's probably 10 miles. But I live right on the Henderson, Transylvania County line, and that's about 10 miles into Henderson County.
You get home, like, when you're coming, like, from my area, Taylor, how long does it usually take you to get home?
If I drive straight through and don't have to stop for anything, it'll take me about an hour and 15, hour to an hour and a half.
You're asleep at this point.
The road, yes, but the new potholes that come up from time to time, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, all that tax money that we're paying on our gases and stuff, it's filling up those holes. Haven't you noticed?
I thought it was creating them.
We do a corporate video for the construction industry every, twice a year. And they'll have the South Carolina DOT lady come and speak at it sometimes. And every now and then I just want to go up to her and say, you know all that tax money that we pay on gas? Is that just lining your pockets or what?
Well, it might be lining hers too, but it's also lining a couple of the representatives down near Florence County, down that way. They're over the road thing. I listen to the talk radio on all day long, and it's all over it.
Listen to
106.3 and then 94.5.
It's where I.
Yes, I do. He kept you up on the national stuff. Dana, just sometimes, I don't know, I can't take it. I got to turn the channel.
I agree. I tell you why, I absolutely loved listening to Rush, and it was just nice. I mean, every now and then he'd go off on these little tangents, and it was just like, all right, move along. But overall, I do miss listening to him. But I haven't really been able to get into that. Is that the new lady you were talking about? I have not been able to really get into listening.
Yeah, that Dana Lash, she took Rush's spot on the air. And then Charlie James in the afternoon, it took Bob's spot. I don't know about him either. And then Vince, I never really cared for him.
I thought there was a guy that's big on YouTube. He's like an ex-military or ex-cop or something. I thought he was going to take over.
I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you on that one.
I'm going to find that guy's name, but for some reason I thought he was going to take over. And then the other day I tried to switch it over to listen to see who was in his spot. And, yeah, that Dana lady, and I just, it was like a ton of dead air. She would say something, and then she would just be, like, dead silent for, like, a second, or, you know, like, 5 seconds. And I'm like, are you all right? And then she'd talk, and then she's like, we're going to a commercial break, and then they came back, and then she basically just repeated everything she got done saying right before the commercial.
Yeah, I like I said, I can tolerate her for a little while, but not long. So I usually end up just turning the radio off at that point.
I'll move over here. Hang on 1 second. KI4DTY. So what does your wife do for work?
She works for the school system as office support staff. She works between Rosman Middle School and Rosman Elementary School.
As a school teacher, she does the virtual learning classes.
She worked for as a teacher, but I didn't know she was doing the virtual learning stuff. So what does your wife do? You're homeschooling your kids, correct?
She's amazing at it, but yeah, she has a degree in early education, which is amazing. And she homeschools the three boys, and she does amazing. Now, with that being said, math is not her strong point. And she sent my oldest down to me with some geometry stuff that she was like, all right, Tad, you're it.
Oh, I imagine so. And it would, the way they do math now and that Common Core stuff in public school, I tried helping my son with that, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about here.
Ain't that the truth? Well, thankfully, we are not doing Common Core anything, and so it's actually work. It's a curriculum through a different type of program. I don't remember what it was called, but I tell you what, it is really good math. I'm like, dang, I wish I had this when I was in school. We did a BECA, and I tell you what, you had to have a college degree to understand that. But yeah, that Common Core crap that's something else.
That's going around your elbow to get back to anywhere but where you should be.
No, she, there's this program is like Amish math. I tell you why, it is so good, and they explain it so well. But my oldest absolutely loves math, like that is his jam. And I loved math growing up too, but I tell you why, it's been a long time since I've done it now, and so, or what he's doing. So it's I'm having to go back there and Google it and everything else.
Be the same way, and you ask me how to do an algebra problem now, and I wouldn't know where to start. I just wouldn't know where to go. But most of them don't. Most kids nowadays don't know how to add and subtract and make change. So that's just floors me.
Algebra is my jam. I love me some algebra. Now still, I started going through his book. He had a question. I started answering some of the other questions. Because once I got started, I was like, yeah, I know this stuff. But I have to brag on him. He was talking about what you were saying with people don't even know the right change. He was buying something last year when he was 14. He wanted to buy, like, these batteries, and so he goes up to, you know, to the counter, and he was behind, he was in front of my wife, and so he hands the lady the stuff, and she tells him, you know, whatever it was going to be, and he hands her $20, and then she was like, huh? Like, it was like $14.50 or something like that. It was like a weird change, like $13.27 or something like that. And so he handed her like a $20 bill. And so then she goes, what? He goes, oh, the change is going to be, and he just knew the change. He was like, oh, you owe me whatever it was. And she goes, huh? And so she could not do it without actually calculating it.
Is always in hundreds. It's the two numbers have to add up to 100. It's that simple.
I agree. I don't get it. So he had calculated the tax and everything. And so he handed her the money and was like, yeah, you owe me. And he told her what she owed him. And she goes, no, that's not right. He goes, no, that is right. So she could not do it, and so she ended up pulling out a little calculator. It was hilarious.
It would be funny. But when you're not doing it every day, it's hard to retain that information for long periods of time. At least it is for me.
You're working at a grocery store or something, you should be able to do math.
Basic math. I mean, you don't have to be no rocket scientist, but basic adding and subtracting should be pretty readily available to you.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to count change out and do it without a calculator if at all possible. So, yeah, it was hilarious, but I was proud of him. You know, he's always been able to think like that and smarter than me.
But everybody learns different, and everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, so you just got to take it as it comes.
Yeah, I agree, but... No, it was funny, but yeah, as far as the math, yeah, my wife's been sending him down to me, because I, you know, for the most part work from home unless I'm running errands or have another shoot, so I'll hear him knock on my door and see him walk in with his math book, and it's just funny.
You doing at home, editing the photos and that kind of stuff? Touching them up or whatever it is you do with them?
Well, I have a home office, which is nice. I used to have an office somewhere else, but it kind of made no sense to me paying all this money. I mean, yeah, sometimes I would meet clients there, but for the most part, it, you know, I was meeting them at, you know, their location or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm by nature a night owl, so I run the actual office day-to-day stuff during the day in normal business hours, and then at night around 9 to whatever, I'll edit the videos, edit the photos, do all that. I'm more creative at night, and so it's just usually been easier. Plus, having, at the time, you know, when I was doing it, having small kids, editing at night when everybody was in bed just was easier for me to do.
Less distractions, everything's quieter, and you can just focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, because usually, at least for the video side, you're trying to be pretty creative and tell a story. A lot of guys outsource their editing to India and Philippines and some other places like that. I still do all my own editing, so it's a longer process. But usually for a wedding, just on the editing side, I'll spend about 80 hours just editing. And I actually calculated my time the other day, and with emails and phone calls and everything, I'll spend about right at 400 to 500 hours on a wedding.
That's a lot. I wouldn't have ever figured you spent that much time on a wedding.
But when we did an Egyptian wedding a couple months back, and they were the most time I've ever spent with a client, which it should have never been that much time. But with all the phone calls and emails going back and forth, yeah, I calculated the time, and yeah, it was just insane. That was the most I've probably ever spent on a wedding, 400 hours. Now, obviously, some of that included their, you know, the editing and stuff, you know, 80, 90 hours for editing. But still, that was a good amount of time just for phone calls, emails, and consultations.
For sure. Like I said, I would have never thought you spent that much time. I would figure you spent a good amount of time, but not that much.
I'm a little shocked myself. I think normally we try to spend about 200, so 80 to 90, depending on what all we're doing, and then probably another good 100, if that much, another 100 just in correspondence. But we really try to, because this is what I do full-time, I try to cater to our clients so that they feel like if they have a question or something, they can actually call or email, and I usually respond within 2 hours if at all possible. I tell them, you know, if they email or call me on a Saturday to Sunday, pretty much, you know, they're not going to hear from me until Monday. But yeah, this Egyptian wedding, she was kind of becoming a nightmare.
I could have took that much handhold.
Oh my God, so the venue was, there's a, what's the Hyatt, there's a Hyatt Hotel, like at the corner of Haywood and Pelham, and that was the hotel where the reception was, and so the venue, the coordinator there said that the month of the wedding, she's like, this bride has literally called me every day to ask me a different question. And I was like, dear God, she's been driving me crazy too.